The following is a sermon shared on January 6, 2007, on Sabbath Day, that uses Scripture to prove the Seventh-day Adventist Church has indeed become Babylon, just as both Spirit of Prophecy and Scripture predicted. I felt it necessary to share this sermon on its own due to numerous requests for it. It can be viewed on the website in the pre-recorded sermon section, of course, at January 6, 2007 location, as well as on the POGM events page. However, here in this format, all the singing, children's stories, and other activities that occurred during our weekly church service have been edited out. I pray you are blessed by what you're about to hear.
Well, a sermon that I kind of like rolled at the last minute, but with the Lord's help, it worked out all right. Now, the reason for this is, and I could say this is part one, but I don't think I would have to go to part two or part three. I mean, it could more or less be said today. It may take me a little while to get through this. I might go all the way up to 40, 45 minutes instead of the usual 30. So I hope and pray you're, and I might not, I don't know. I just don't know how this is going to work out. Because like I said, this is mostly, this is done at a last minute kind of a thing. The SDA preachers are, what I've been seeing with my experience, they're using Sister White's writings to say that the people should stay in the churches. They should stay in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and ignore that which was written in the Scriptures in regards to coming out, because the Bible plainly says they come out of apostasy. And this is one of the reasons I was moved to share this sermon, because I'm running into an awful lot of loved ones and believers and stuff that are finding things in Sister White's writings that are just not there. And the reason being is because they're not reading their Bibles enough. I mean, they're obviously reading to a point where they found Christ as Lord, but the thing is, a lot of people are starting to put the Bibles down and using only Ellen White's writings. And this has a tendency to cause people to forget the basic truths. And I can validate this as confirmed whenever I am approached by a Seventh-day Adventist preacher or a pastor, and or just a lay person who is declaring to me that Sister White says never call the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon, or never to leave the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and or whatever the case may be, whatever the, you know, and I say, okay, let me ask you, and I shared this last night, and I have to share it now because of, there are some new people. If I try to get them to, first of all, agree that Ellen White's a prophet, and 99% of the time they will agree. There are some SDA preachers out there that are burning her writings and are, you know, getting rid of them. There's very few, but they are out there, and they are connected with the conference, too. And but the grand majority are saying that, yes, they do believe she's a prophet. I says, okay, now, second question. Would a prophet contradict that which is written in the Scriptures? See, this is one of the reasons. A couple of weeks ago, if you noticed, that one sermon that I shared was mostly Scripture. And some of you, even some close to me, have approached and said, I need to start sharing mostly Scripture in the sermons. I mean, it's okay to, you know, put a little bit of Sister White in there every now and then, but just using strictly Sister White, it may be causing problems for some of the people out there that are babes in this message. And they're relying too much on Ellen White and not going back into the Scriptures and getting the basic truths. And you can confirm this when you are approached by these SDA preachers. And you say, okay, since you agree she is a prophet and she would not contradict the Scripture, I got one more question to ask. Do you believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is in apostasy? And I've got a lot of experience in this question, because the beginning of my ministry, and I still do it to this day, I've just been a little bit more focused in the Seventh-day Adventist realm in the last few years, but I still do what I started out back 22 years ago. I evangelize Catholics. And every single one of the Catholics, like the Seventh-day Adventists today, tell me, yes, we agree, our leaders are in apostasy. So that's usually a question that's a no-brainer. They're going to answer yes. The church is in apostasy. The leaders, the corporate body. So, okay, They answered all three questions the way they should have, with truth. Yes, she's a prophet. Yes, or no, she will not contradict scriptures. And yes, the leaders are in apostasy. With that said, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 2 Thessalonians 3, 14 says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. James 4, 4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amos 3, 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 17 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If we can prove, using scripture, that the Seventh-day Adventist church leaders are Babylon, then they are defined as the five foolish virgins. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, for the sake of time, what was the first verse? 1 Corinthians 15:33. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:14. Oh, you got all the rest? All right. Okay. All right, so like I said, for the sake of time, I'm not going to share the literal hundreds of verses that describe Babylon. There's over 300 of them that I have found, as you know, and Brother Rob did some work on this wall, and when we compiled them together, it comes out to over 300. We already know Rome's fruits. So it's the, we know what Babylon is, what the fruits are in that respect. So let's see if the SDA Church has the same fruit. I mean, we've got the Seventh-day Adventist preachers and the pastors and the laymen to agree that yes, the Seventh-day Adventist church is an apostasy, and yes, Ellen White's a prophet, and no, she won't contradict scripture. Sadly, though, when I say, okay, since all these things are believed, and we are on the same page here, well then, since she won't contradict scripture, and you agree your leaders are an apostasy, what saith the Word of God? That's, sadly, when over 50% of these people that approach with this message turn around and walk away. Some of them run away. They don't want to have to deal with the scriptures because they know they can't contradict the Word of God. They know they can manipulate Sister White's writings. They know they can't do it with the Bible. And that's usually when you'll find they'll disappear on you. They don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. And so they'll stay in their Ellen White's writings and feel safe. So, can the once faithful church, the Seventh-day Adventist church, can this become Babylon? And if so, how? Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6 says, my people hath been lost sheep, and their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. What's the holy mountain in prophecy, people? Isn't that Mount Zion? Isn't that the church? They left it for the little hill, and they've forgotten the resting place. Everything from Trinity to pagan holidays, all of them, not just Christmas, people, there are Sunday sunrise services in Seventh-day Adventist churches now. These things are causing the flock to be led astray. And now we know of at least a dozen or so Seventh-day Adventist conference churches that regularly keep Sunday holy. And it was announced in 1998 that 90 more churches, 1998, by the way, people, okay, 1998, this is almost 10 years ago, 90 Seventh-day Adventist churches joined with the Willow Creek Association. They have joined a Sunday-keeping organization created by Bill Clinton. That's right, you heard me. And that means they have forgotten their resting place. And by the way, Clinton, praised the Seventh-day Adventist Church on October 21st, 2003 from Washington, D.C. The Adventist Review published that praise, by the way. Long ago, the leaders of the church became evil and blind. Therefore, they were carried away off to Babylon. Jeremiah 52, verses 1 and 2 says, Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hemaphah. Or is it Hamathal? It's kind of hard to... It was like Hamathal, the daughter of Jeremiah, of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. 2 Chronicles 36:13 says, and he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. 2 Kings 25, verse 7 says, and they slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with feathers of brass and carried him to Babylon. Have the Seventh-day Adventist leaders become blind? Have they stiff-necked their necks? I'm going to put a couple of images in the room as I share. And you tell me what you're seeing here. Okay, this one's going to pop up pretty quick in the network here at the house, but I'll give it a minute or so for those of you who watch or listening from afar. That's Samuel Bakayoko. Okay? That is a Seventh-day Adventist leader of the church. Notice the three-fingered trident of pagan Rome. Notice the Baal, the circle of Baal on his chest. Notice the pagan clothing. This is a leader. Has he not become blind? Look at this leader in the Seventh-day Adventist church. B.T. Rice, Pastor B.T. Rice. Look at the pagan clothing he's wearing. And look who's blessing him. That's Pope John Paul II. If you want, these are on the SDA Apostasy website, by the way. Neil C. Wilson, past president of the Seventh-day Adventist General Conference, and this is a court transcript of the United States versus the Seventh-day Adventist Church Equal Opportunity Commission versus the Pacific Press Publishing Association and the General Conference. This is reply brief for defendants on page 4, civil case number 74-2025-CBR. And this was a courtroom that was presided over by Judge Charles B. Renfrew, United States District Court, San Francisco, California, in 1974-75. This is what this president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church stated in a courtroom, and it was put in writing. He said, although it is true that there was a period in the life of the Seventh-day Adventist Church when the denomination took a distinctly anti-Roman Catholic viewpoint, that attitude on the church's part was nothing more than a manifestation of widespread anti-popery among conservative Protestant denominations in the early part of the century and the latter part of the last, and which has now been consigned to the historical trash heap so far as the Seventh-day Adventist Church is concerned. It is plain and obvious that, yes, their eyes have been plucked out and they have been carried off to Babylon. In fact, they admit it. This same man stated in Adventist Review, March 5th, 1981, on page 3, that there is another universal and truly Catholic organization, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. My Bible is plain. Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32 says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters have they burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Another reason the SDA Church has become Babylon is because they have made covenants with Rome. Ezekiel 17, verses 12 to 13 says, say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof and led them with him to Babylon and hath taken of the king's seed and made a covenant with him and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land. Let me share these pictures with you. Does this prove they have made a covenant with Rome? When a General Conference representative by the name of Bert Beach photographed in Venice Review, November 8th, 2001, on page 10, hands the Pope a gold medal and honors the Pope? What about this picture? Hold on a second here. Give me a second. Hope everybody got the picture. I might be going too fast for the dial-up, folks. I apologize for that. And for those of you on the radio, I hope I am pretty descriptive. This picture here has been published by the General Conference, and it's Spanish, but it's actually in English means the Adventist Vatican. This is found in Silver Springs, Maryland. That's right, I said the Adventist Vatican. What about this picture? Hold on. Hopefully everybody's seen that picture. Because I got them pretty well crunched to where they should be able to make it in for the dial-up users. What was the verse for Jeremiah? Let me look back here. Jeremiah 52, verses 1 and 2 about Zedekiah. Or Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. Those are the last two Jeremiahs I've done. Look at this picture. All right. Now, that is the main graphic. And I've got a graphic that I'm going to share at the end of the sermon that might, or near the end of the sermon, that it'll scare some of you when you see what it actually means. It'll scare some of the those of us that used to mess with the occult. All right? But this graphic right here is the main graphic from the homepage of the United Nations Liaison Office of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They have joined with the United Nations as well. And, of course, many have already seen this picture. And this this picture here was taken at the... for some reason it ain't coming through. It's, okay, it doubled up. Hold on a second here. I don't know why it's doubling up. Oh, okay, I messed up. Okay, give me a second here. I shouldn't have done this way. Paste. Okay, somebody, I guess, wanted to see that one last one again. Does everybody, okay, everybody get that picture? United Nations? Some of you said last night that you saw some of the people you know are in these pictures. So you know these are actual Seventh-day Adventist people. This is on that main page of the liaison office of the SDA Church. Okay, let's just see. Oops, it's doing it again. Hold on. Okay, now this is a Seventh-day Adventist magazine, Signs of the Times, promoting John Paul II's global vision. And look at the cross he's holding. Did you know the artist named that cross, that bent image of Jesus, that bent cross? That cross is actually called the Antichrist. But the popes carry that now. Openly. I mean, the artist openly stated he named it Antichrist. But these popes use it, which proves they are 33rd degree Masons. They are seeking to destroy Christianity from within, the wolf in sheep's clothing that Jesus talked about. And now the Seventh-day Adventist Church is helping them. And then this picture. This was taken, this picture here was taken at the Vatican, the 1995 General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Assembly. That's the Vatican flag. Okay? Now we'll say, well, that's just because of Rome. You know how big Rome is? As big as the Vatican. They don't have just, you know, it's not like you think. It's the smallest nation on the planet. Another reason the Bible defines the Seventh-day Adventist Church to be Babylon is because they follow the other church's lead. 2 Chronicles 36:14 says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he hallowed in Jerusalem. Well, the SDA Church now teaches and preaches Trinity, Sunday Sabbath, Christmas, Easter. They have a 501c3, which means they have helped create the image of the beast. I'll get into that a little later. And they have joined the World Council of Churches. Now, what I'm going to read here is it's a final communique of the Joint Working Group of the Pontifical Council for Promoting of Christian Unity via the Holy See, Vatican City. You can get this from Vatican.com. It says a plenary meeting between the Joint Working Group, which included Seventh-day Adventist participants, the Roman Catholic Church, and the World Council of Churches, was held on Monday, May 5th through Sunday, May 11th, 2003. This meeting was held at Osaya Santa Maria, a center for spiritually, under the direction of Monsignor Colucci of the Archdiocese of Betanto. And by the way, what I'm about to share regarding the SDA Church proves, again, it is Babylon, as well as touches on the point that I'm just sharing here in regards to the World Council of Churches. It says in Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 35 to 36, a sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. According to the word, a fruit of Babylon, this is what we're doing. We're doing fruit inspection here. A fruit of Babylon is to lie. Do the Seventh-day Adventist Church leaders lie? Well, in a letter from the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists on January 25, 1967, from D.W. Hunter, Associate Secretary, he says, we do not make contributions to the NCC program, National Council of Churches. Okay? From a letter from the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists from January 5, 1983, from L.L. Butler, the Treasurer, stated, we have no financial relationship with the World Council Church Organization. All the funds that we are, as a church, receive are dispersed entirely through our denominational channels. We understand them to be contributed on the basis that we shall use them to maintain the various programs operated by our church, including, of course, our various welfare programs. So the brief answer to your inquiry is that we do not contribute any funds to the World Council of Churches organization. I have many, many, many more quotes on this, but these two should suffice. But is this true? I mean, there's a lot of quotes where they say, no, 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 we don't do this. So what's the documented facts reveal? What do the documented facts declare? Because we know, this has been going on recently too, by the way, because I run into Seventh-day Adventists that say, no, 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 they are not a member of the World Council of Churches. They're still saying it to this day. This is what their pastors are telling them. Why? Because they're liars. The Catholic Church would lie to us when I was a kid. They would say certain things that were just bold-faced lies because they don't want you to know what they're politically doing. They want you to think they're a church, a Christian church, when they're all about being a political entity. So what does the documentation declare? Letter from the National Council of Churches, January 29, 1960, by Donald F. Landwehr, Assistant General Secretary of the NCC Finance Committee, stated, in the year 1959, the SDA Church sent a total of $6,700 for the support of the National Council of Churches. In 1969, they gave a total of $5,950 for the NCC support. That was also from the National Council of Churches, April 7, 1970, Constant H. Jacquet, who is the director of the research library. Now, in fact, in 1984, the Seventh-day Adventist Church itself admittedly gave $8,000 to the World Council of Churches, and then stated, and they stated this in a letter from the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists, June 13, 1985, Mitchell A. Tyner, Esquire, Associate Director and Legal Counsel of the Department of Public Affairs and Religious Liberty. Also see the letter from the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists, October 23, 1984, from W.L. Mueller, Under Treasurer. He said, this is apparently what has been running for the last few years. The fruit of lying is apparent. Now, getting back to the previous fruits, in 2 Chronicles, it's stated that a fruit of Babylon is to join with the heathen. Well, have they joined? We already know they lied about joining with them, but have they joined? Well, again, they state another lie. They said, okay, fine, we don't contribute, but we, you know, okay, fine, you caught us, we're contributing, but we certainly haven't joined. Let's find some more quotes from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It says, from the letter from the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, January 25, 1967, from D.W. Hunter, Associate Secretary, he says, Seventh-day Adventists are not members of the National Council of Churches. And the Department of Affairs from Burt Beach, April 2, 1982, said, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not a member of the World Council of Churches. In October 23, 1984, from W.L. Mueller, the Under Treasurer, he said, The General Conference is not a member of the MCC or the WCC. And then the Adventist Review, January 3rd, 1985, on page 4 says, no, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not a member of the World Council of Churches. Truth is, they made a covenant with Babylon, just like the prophecy said, or the Bible describes Babylon. If they are making a covenant, they are Babylon. From the letter from the National Council of Churches, August 7, 1959, Wesley B. Goodman, Associate Executive Director, said the Seventh-day Adventist Church was listed as an associate member and cooperating member of the National Council of Churches in 1959. The Seventh-day Adventist Church was also listed as one of the unit members of the NCC in 1964. That's from January 13, 1965, Wilbur C. Perry, Assistant Council Secretary, stated that. And by the way, all this stuff is on the SDA Apostasy website, and in Horror Babylon Flash animation, but you don't have to watch the whole thing for 2 hours if you don't want. You can go right to the hard copy of all these quotes, which will take you a lot longer than 2 hours to get through. Continuing. This is from the Research, Evaluation, and Planning Committee of September 26, 1983, from Constant H. Jacquet, Jr., Staff Associate of Information Services, stated that the Seventh-day Adventist Church Conference representatives as members on two commissions of the NCC in 1983. And, by the way, I'm going to post the WCC website in here a little later, and you're going to see for yourself who the WCC says is on their member roster. You will see it for yourselves if you don't believe these letters that, you know, have been coming. All right, the next one. The SDA Church has had General Conference representatives as members on two commissions of the NCC in And this one here says, and had representatives as members of three commissions and more than four committees of the NCC in 1984. That was a letter written in June 13th of 1985 by Mitchell A. Tyner, Esquire, Associate Director of Legal Counsel, Department of Public Affairs. Now, this is just scratching the surface. I don't want to do a series on this, okay? The Bible makes it plain. It should not be an issue. If Ellen White was never born, no one would see a problem with calling the Seventh-day Adventist Church a sister of Babylon. No one would have a problem calling it this. Why? Well, to give you a quick rundown, and I could prove all these by articles that are on the SDA Apostasy site, the reason they wouldn't have any problem calling it Babylon if Ellen White never was alive for them to take her writings and take them out of context is because they, the leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, have been photographed with the Pope in Mass, in a Catholic Mass, and handing him medals of honor. Or evil men like Bill Clinton have been found praising them. Or they drop the term Seventh Day from their name and publicize doing it. They have dozens of Sunday-keeping churches and have joined with them en masse. They have rock music to lure the youth. They have Roman celebration services. They sue the brethren for calling the Pope Antichrist using the name Seventh-day Adventist. They disfellowship brethren that try to warn them of apostasy. They lie about their actions and get caught. They lie about preachers outside the SDA Church and then get caught. They did it with me. They celebrate Lent and Easter with Catholics, not just as a celebration or something to keep. They do it with the Catholics in their own church. They celebrate. Again, these are articles that I've gotten. They're on the SDA apostasy site. They celebrate Christmas as the world does. They preach the Roman Trinity as doctrine. They have Loving Babylon seminars. The North American division declares infants are now hellbound, like Rome does with that purgatory thing, or limbo, rather. They have sermons like how to have sex with God at Loma Linda. They sell drugs and use chemo at Loma Linda. They have Roman Catholic artwork in their college yearbooks with halos and pagan symbols. They join with the NCC and the WCC. They denounce anti-Vatican advertisements. They hold dances for students. They attend Vatican conferences. They promote the Pope and the signs of the times. They use hate in lawsuits, as does Rome. They do political business on Sabbath day. They declare the SDA churches to be a Catholic organization. They refer to their ministers as nuns and cardinals. They have magicians entering the flock in their churches. They have the SDA hospitals have Vatican-approved sculptures now. They hold fun fests for the children on Sabbath. They promote Buddha. They declare Rome and SDA in agreement in Scripture. They present Hollywood Catholic movies to their members in their churches. They kill their members to benefit scientific research and help the bio-warfare effort. Remember White Coat? Project White Coat? They are honored inside Vatican walls. In the Vatican, they are honored. They call the health message quackery. That just happened recently, by the way. In writing, they say the health message is quackery. They are, and why did they call it that? Because Rome is all about sorcery, making money with the drugs. So you got to get that health message to be called quackery so they can make more money. Because this is the Roman Catholic Church now. I was Roman Catholic 29 years. I know what I'm looking at. They are investigated by the U.S. government for misuse of funds in the immigration scandal. They have helped create the image of the beast with the 501c3. By the way, the 501c3. If you're a church, you don't even need a 501c3. According to the Constitution, if you're a church, you are tax exempt. You don't, you know, no income tax. I mean, but if you go into Walmart, if you want to buy a car, or if you want to whatever, you pay rent or whatever, or a mortgage, you pay taxes there. But if you want to get around that, and then you have to get a 501c3. If you want to go into Walmart and get something without paying taxes, you have to get a 501c3 tax-free notice, right? How do you get a 501c3? There's only one way. You have to be incorporated with the state. Every church now, as of March 7th, 2006, George W. Bush put in writing, you are now considered government agencies. That happened I just did a newsletter on it. March 7th, 2006, all churches that have 501c3 are now government agencies. In other words, the image of the beast has become alive. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church helped it because they have a 501c3 tax-free status. They also declare the Sabbath now in writing to be a Jewish Sabbath. Walla Walla SDA College declares the Pope John Paul II is a good example for kids. They gamble and lose $50 million of their tithe monies in stock market gambling. They invest in numerous companies that go directly against Christian principles and health. They are fined $8.7 million by the U.S. government for the largest on record Medicare fraud ever done. They use spiritualism at Loma Linda. They educate their young in politics. They officially became a United States government. Well, I already stated that. The Adventist Healthcare now offers yoga, tai chi, and martial arts. And they put in writing that the Pope's name no longer equals 666. If you want over 10 times more information about what I just shared, go to sdaapostasy.org or lightministries.com. Bottom line. If you call yourself a Seventh-day Adventist or have made a covenant with Babylon, that is what your Bible says. The SDA Church has the name SDA on the books of the NCC and the WCC, which is, in fact, Babylon. Your name, if you choose this name, is now proven to have made a covenant with Rome. What does your Bible say happens at this point? Speaking to the church near the end of time, we see in Isaiah 65, verses 11 to 17, it says, "But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain." And the holy mountain is Mount Zion. That's his true church, right? "That forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Why? Well, doesn't it say in the scriptures that the remnant will have their bread and waters? Sure. Seventh-day Adventists won't, but the remnant will. Going on, it says, behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Lord God shall slay thee, and shall call his servants by another name. That he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. So that proves this is talking about the end of the times. He does this when it's all said and done. We get that new name because of what they've done in the name. Now, I know Sister White says you don't call the church Babylon, but does that apply to today? She said it over 150 years ago, during the ninth hour, according to Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7. Satan knew it wasn't Babylon in her day, right? But he knew he would make it such later. He knows the Bible a lot better than we do, people. He understands prophecy. He knows what that 11th hour is all about. He knows what Revelation 12:17 means, too. And so Satan planned in advance to get her, Ellen White, to put in writing, don't call the Seventh-day Adventist Church Babylon. Why? He got a bunch of people in the ninth hour to say that the Seventh-day Adventist Church was Babylon, even though it wasn't. And he knew it wasn't. He had to get her to put it in writing. Why? So that today the Seventh-day Adventist pastors can take her out of context and say, look, look at what your prophet says. This church will go through. It is not Babylon, and they use it to this day. That's why when it does become Babylon, the Seventh-day Adventist church preachers can use it. The devil worked in advance. He's always done that. That's why it was such a strange message to hear during the ninth hour when it was absolutely prophetically sound for some people to say, it's Babylon? Why? It's obvious the devil was up to something. This is also why none of the SDA preachers, the grand majority of them that I run across, will respond to scriptures that expose Babylon. Because if they do, it will prove that they're taking SOP out of, you know, spirit of prophecy out of context. Now, I have a couple of pictures I want to share that may scare or shock some of you. I didn't share these last night. Let me get a second here. Now, but by the way, I've got a lot more pictures on the SDA apostasy site. I mean, the word of 1,000 words, okay? You might want to take a look at those. But here, take a look at this. Oh, wait. Let me go here. I'm not going to show you that page yet. Hold on a second here. Just hold on. Let me show you something here. Okay? This is the front page of the World Council of Churches, okay? That's the front page. Let's give it a minute to load up. It's got a graphic on it I want you to see. You got to see this graphic. All right? Now, notice all the different languages and stuff like that. So if you click the English one, I'll just give it another 30 seconds or so for everybody to take a look at that picture. What that picture, see, I used to be Catholic. And so I know that's a Roman Catholic altar. All right? I know what that is. Also in the occult world. All right? You're going to be a little bit shocked when you find out what that actually represents, what the World Council of Churches is really all about. Send it again. Okay, hold on. F2, here it goes. Yeah, William, don't let the cat out of the bag, please, there. William's letting the cat out. Okay. Did you get it, Rick? If you're not getting it, anybody, just click on the link that pops into the room while I'm doing this. Doesn't it? No, I guess it doesn't pop. Okay. Let me just see. Okay, that's the link. If you're not getting it, click that. All right, now I'm going to show you that picture. Because I took that picture, and this is the World Council of Churches main page. I have this in the newsletter, by the way. That's why it's on my website. It's the only reason I got this picture. right there. Okay, now this will come through quicker. This is just a cross, because this picture is like in the old days when we used to do graphics on the internet, you had to chop them up in pieces so that they'll pop quicker rather than just chopping them down in your graphics software. That you know, the World Council of Churches is using the old-fashioned method to put the graphic up. So that section of the graphic shows the altar, and that's why I popped it up there for you all to see. That's what you got to see. What it shows is a cross, but actually it's the letter T. Okay? That's the letter T, and that red silk is symbolic of blood. This is what the Catholic Church taught us. That red silk is supposed to be blood. That's what my priest, my pastor, and when I was in Catholic grade school, they all said, that's blood running off the cross onto the altar, and then the blood's supposed to run down the altar, and then the blood's supposed to run down the aisle. So, but you can't get a picture of that aisle here, but you can kind of see where the silk, the red silk's hitting the ground, and it's kind of like crumpled up, and it's going further and further and further, because it will go all the way down the aisle. It'll just be blood running all the way to the doorway of the church, right? And you notice there's some petals there, rose petals in the baskets. I don't remember what those are about, but that also has a symbolic meaning. Okay, now everybody seen that picture? Now, this next picture I got from a Wiccan website, a witchcraft website. See the letter T? See the blood running down on the altar? Running down the front of the altar? And running down the aisle. And that Eye of Horus is floating above it. Every major Roman Catholic church, especially cathedrals, all of them, have that triangle with the eyeball on it that you find on the back of your dollar bill. That's the Eye of Satan floating above their altars. That's why this is above an altar. I have many of those pictures on my website to show you where that eyeball comes from. There's a picture section on my website, and I show, even in my Horror Babylon Flash animation, it shows that eyeball floating above Catholic altars. This World Council of Churches right here is what the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a member of. And they'll lie to you till they're blue in the face, but look at this. You'll watch the link. Watch the link as we get to this link. I'm not going to leave this website. Okay? Look at the link. It's the same website. I went to the church and ecumenical organizations that are members of this movement, the World Council of Churches. Now scroll down, or better yet, just, you know, put in Control F. Just put Control F in the room and then type Adventist and then hit Enter. You'll come to the Christian World Communions. Look at the seventh name on the list. The seventh name on the list is the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Now, your pastors, if there's any Seventh-day Adventists within earshot, are telling you they're not members. But the General Conference of Seventh-day, if you click that link, it brings you right to the Seventh-day Adventist website. That's what it's designed to do. The seventh name down on the list. A few more things that verify the Seventh-day Adventist Church is, in fact, okay, Second Chronicles, what? Hold on a second here. Where was that Second Chronicles? Second Chronicles, let me find it here. I can't remember. Well, Second Chronicles 36:14 says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and flew to the house of the Lord which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. That's talking about another reason. That's another way to define whether or not it is Babylon, if it does those things. Well, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has done those things. It does everything that the Catholic Church does now. Now, I'm going to close with this. So I guess I went a little long, but not much. I thought I'd be a lot longer than this. I'm going to close with this. And again, I've got over 300 on my Horror Babylon page on the website. Rob's got a page on his website, too, about this. I don't remember exactly where it's at, but I think it's linked from my Horror Babylon page, if I'm not mistaken. But if you go to my... Now, I'm not talking about the Horror Babylon Flash animation. I'm talking about the Horror Babylon page in the prophecy section of the website. You scroll down and you're going to see a list that's sectioned out, but when you add up all the numbers, it's 306 separate scriptures, people, not Ellen White's writings. Okay? And we know she's a prophet, so if she's a prophet, she's going to agree with these scriptures. All 306 of these scriptures are saying these are identifying marks that if the church you're in does these things, you are in Babylon. Here's just a few that I'm going to share out of the 306, not maybe a dozen I'll share. Babylon casts out God's people, Jeremiah 51, verse 34. They're not seeing it. You guys can't see this page in the room? It didn't come in the room, the ecumenical links page? Oh, okay, sorry. Let me just... okay, here. Let me put it in the... I'll put it in the text chat. There. Click that page. Click that link, put it in your browser. Put it in your browser, and then go in your browser and then put in... Control F. F is the find, like it's a search engine that's built in just for that page, automatically. All browsers have it. You can use it in word processors too. And then type the word Adventist. It'll bring you right to the seventh name on the list of Christian World Communions, which is members of the World Council of Churches. Okay? Now, Jeremiah 51 verse 34 says, if the church is Babylon, it will disfellowship God's people. Okay? How many true remnant believers, true people that understand and embrace the original doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist Church have been kicked out because you tried to stop your pastor from doing something or you tried to warn the brethren of something? The Bible says in Jeremiah 51:34 that God's people will be cast out of Babylon. They'll be disfellowshipped. In Jeremiah 51 verse 49, it says it will cause God's people to be slain. I'm not going to talk about the stuff that goes on behind closed doors. I'm just going to talk about Operation White Coat. That's another fruit of Babylon. The Seventh-day Adventist Church allowed some of the Seventh-day Adventist members that were drafted into the army that had conscientious objectors, if you will, that didn't want to kill other people, so they had them be guinea pigs in government experiments on biowarfare, and they killed many of these and maimed them, some of them that survived for life. Seventh-day Adventists. The church allowed this. Talked these young men into doing this. Jeremiah 51 verse 39 says that the celebration of Babylon will be in the midst of the church. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has celebration services. Our friends Michael A.B. from the forum has tons of information on this. He's got videos, he's got pictures, he sends me stuff left and right. He's posting the stuff in the forum now. He's proven, he goes right into the churches and he's videotaping and photographing, he's right there. They don't know who he is. That works out great. All right, next one. Revelation 17 verse 5 says, they are connected with the mysteries of spiritualism. Well, I showed you earlier with the Seventh-day Adventist hospitals. Well, I don't think I showed you earlier, but I do have articles on that where, yeah, that's right. I mentioned the articles that are in there where the Seventh-day Adventist Church is using spiritualism in the hospitals. Revelation 18 verse 23 and Isaiah 47 verses 9 and 12 says that if this church is Babylon, really, truly, according to the God that wrote the Bible, if it's Babylon, it will use and it'll deceive their members and use and practice sorcery. Sorcery. Okay? Now, do you know what sorcery means in English? Look it up. Its actual word is pharmakia. Pharmakia is pharmacy. Loma Linda uses drugs and sells them. They're using and practicing sorcery. That's all drugs are, people. That's why they're calling the health message quackery, because they realized, wow, you mean to tell me this one pill has a 150,000 markup? That's why they make so much money, folks. Continuing. Isaiah 47 verse 47 verse 7 says, if it's Babylon, it does not remember the warnings given her about her destruction. The Seventh-day Adventist Church was warned both in Scripture as well as a lot of quotes from Ellen White that you never hear from Seventh-day Adventist pulpits that I posted on the Seventh-day Adventist, the SDA apostasy site, and Brother Rob's got them all over his lightministries.com site. Sister White warned them and 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 over and over and over again, knock it off, quit doing this, but they continued. They do not remember the warnings. Revelation 17:5 and Jeremiah 50 verse 42 says, this church will have many daughters. How many of us heard about these spin-offs, these strange spin-offs that are doing, that call themselves Seventh-day Adventist or are calling themselves all these, like you got Shepherd's Rod, you got Creationists, you got all these different spin-offs of Seventh-day Adventist. Revelation 18:3 and Isaiah 47:15 says, if this church is Babylon, it will be connected intimately with merchants. Go to SDA Apostasy, go to the pictures section, and look at those two photographs of the investment portfolios, or read the articles about the investment portfolio of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Boy, they're connected. They are intimately connected, and that's why they lost $50 million of Seventh-day Adventist tithe money, because of their connection. The next one here, Revelation 18:2, says they were once clean and pure, but now they are a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The SDA church was clean at one time, the early SDA. That's why so many people want to continue using that name. But the Bible says they were once clean, but now they're not, which means that name was once clean, but now it's not. If they're once clean and now they're not, then their name was once clean and now it's not. You can't get around this. Revelation 18 is very plain. It says, look, they will have a name that was once clean, but now the name won't be clean. Can't get around that. That one is way too blunt. Next one. Only got four more to go. 17:18 of Revelation says, if this is Babylon, then it will reign over their people. Well, the Seventh-day Adventist Church now has a president, and that president is also called first pastor or first minister, just like the Pope is called. And the Pope is considered Caesar. I actually have a Pope saying, the Caesar that stands before you this day, where all obedience and fidelity is due. It's on my site. Just look up Caesar in my search engine on my website. You'll find the quote. Genesis 11, verse 4, and Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 44 says, they will unite all into one. They'll unite all nations, all strange churches. They'll unite them all into one. Did we not just see they are part of the World Council of Churches? Revelation 17, verse 3 says, they will be a church in state conglomerate. They will have that image of the beast. They will be just like the Vatican. They are church and state. Well, the SDA church has a 501c3 tax-free status, as do many SDA ministries. They are a church and state. That prophecy is fulfilled. And the last one that I like to share is, she will forget the sacredness of God's Sabbath according to 2 Chronicles 36:21. There's over a dozen Seventh-day Adventist Sunday-keeping churches on a regular basis, not just the ones that do it once in a while, but these are regular Seventh-day Adventist churches that have Sunday services, a little over a dozen. And in 1998, the last I checked, 1998, 90 Seventh-day Adventist churches joined with the largest Sunday-keeping organization created by William Jefferson Clinton on earth, called the Willow Creek Church Organization Association, which is a constant source of prayer for me, because one of my little sisters are there, and she believes it's the Church of God. With that said, your Bible, okay, which your prophet won't contradict, says, if this church does these things, it is Babylon, including its name is Babylon, because it said in Revelation 17, that, or 18 rather, at one time, it will be clean, but then it won't be. It will have a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And that's one of the things that Sister White kept warning over and over again. It says, if we continue to do this, we will be Babylon. She didn't say, we're going to change our name and then that's going to become Babylon. No, she says, we will become Babylon. She said it with her own lips. She wrote it down. But those things aren't shared on the pulpits. Those things aren't shared by those SDA pastors that are trying to coach people that are already leaving to get them to come back in. You can't say it any plainer than that. And I hope and pray that this has been a blessing for you this day.